KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have a partly cloudy sky here in Atlantic, and it's 69 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 88. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jeff Morenz of Stiefel Investments. Topping area news, four area fire departments were called to assist Adair Fire this morning after a semi struck a gas pump at the Adair Come and Go, sparking a fire. That happened around 2:45 a.m. There were no injuries reported. Fire officials say the semi hit the diesel gas pump, causing electrical wires to spark and ignite. Come and Go employees were able to quickly act and perform the emergency shutdown, which authorities say helped tremendously. Within minutes, Adair Fire was on the scene and able to get a quick knockdown on the flames and preventing the fire from reaching any nearby buildings. Due to the water tower maintenance, water pressure was low, so several area departments were called in to bring in their tanker trucks and other equipment. Among the agencies assisting at the scene was the Oneida, Casey, Greenfield, and Stewart Fire Departments, Adair County Ambulance, Adair County Sheriff's Department, Adair Police, and Richter & Son Towing. Strong storms blew through parts of West Central and Central Iowa early this morning, causing power lines and tree limbs to fall. The National Weather Service reports winds blowing from 55 to 70 miles per hour spanned the state from Humboldt to Des Moines, affecting Humboldt, Jefferson, Bagley, Baird, Des Moines, and Murray, to name a few of the communities. Hail ranging in size from an inch to 1.5 inches accompanied the storms in Humboldt, Murray, and South and Dakota City. 20,000 homes were said to be without power this morning in Central Iowa, according to MidAmerican Energy. Storms began around 2:30 a.m. and picked up in intensity as they rolled through the area and finally fizzled out in central Iowa before moving into southeastern Iowa and reforming. There have been no reports of any injuries. The Cass County Fair Board met Thursday and decided to cancel all non-4-H and FFA activities for the 2020 Cass County Fair. All youth contests will be held in a show-and-go or other modified format. And fair officials say you should stay tuned as they plan to announce additional details for individual contests in the coming weeks. Officials say their primary consideration is the health and safety of our community and fair supporters. We understand the value of gathering as a community, and we do not take this decision lightly. The board said also to our valued sponsors, you'll be hearing from the fair board soon. To our many supporters, we hope that you will plan to join us at the 2021 Cass County Fair, July 28th through August 3rd. We thank you for your many years of support and for your understanding as we navigate these uncertain times together. A federal judge has refused to dismiss a lawsuit against the city of Sioux Falls over the drowning of a 5-year-old girl from Audubon who had fallen into the Big Sioux River at Falls Park a couple of years ago. Attorneys representing the city asked the court last year to dismiss the lawsuit. The suit was brought by Courtney Jane, the mother of Maggie Zager. Zager fell into the river from the riverbanks rocks on March 18th of 2018 during a family trip to the park. Jane alleges the city of Sioux Falls is responsible because of a lack of signs and safety fencing in the park. The Argus Leader reports the judge's ruling will let a jury decide if safety precautions in place at Falls Park at the time of Zager's death were enough. Red Oak Police report two arrests at around 12:25 a.m. today. 48-year-old Kevin Lee Ward of Des Moines was arrested in Red Oak following a traffic stop for speeding. Ward was arrested for driving while suspended with 8 withdrawals in effect. He was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a little more than $566 bond. And a little after 4 p.m. Thursday, 42-year-old Brian Keith Shaver of Red Oak was arrested on a Montgomery County warrant for harassment in the third degree. Shaver was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. 26 new COVID-19 cases were reported Thursday in Pottawatomie County. Health officials say 23 are residents of Council Bluffs, and one each was from Avoca, Walnut, and Oakland. Pott County Public Health reports also a 9th death associated with the virus. That was a 61 to 80-year-old man from Council Bluffs. 3 of the new cases are EpiLinked, while the others were tested between May 22nd and June 22nd. The state's coronavirus dashboard showed that as of Thursday, 2,833 Pottawatomie County residents have been tested for COVID-19, with 307 being positive. Including the EpiLinked cases, PCPH reports a total of 342 COVID-19 cases, of which 184 have recovered. Based on contact tracing investigations, officials say a total of 92 Pott County COVID-19 cases are the direct result of community spread. Officials of the Iowa Department of Public Health and Audubon County Public Health on Thursday identified an additional case of COVID-19 in Audubon County. The individual is an older, middle-aged person, 41 to 60. This additional case brings Audubon County's total to 13 positive confirmed cases of COVID-19, and the number includes 12 that have recovered. And keep in mind that when a new positive case is announced, the Iowa Department of Public Health will only allow the age range of the individual to be released from their site. due to the confidentiality and HIPAA regulations. Any additional information, including the person's race, ethnicity, gender, city, or employer, is considered confidential information and is not supposed to be given out. Officials in Mills County report that in their regular meeting on Thursday, June 4th, the Mills County Board of Supervisors adopted procedures for a phased reopening of the county offices beginning June 8th. That's next Monday at 8 a.m. and making their decision. Officials noted the safety of county employees and residents is their overriding priority. As COVID-19 outbreak continues to have a substantial community spread, the Mills County Board of Supervisors say they're monitoring the situation closely and will periodically update guidance based on recommendations from Mills County Emergency Management, Mills County Public Health, and the Iowa Department of Public Health and the CDC. To reduce the risk for exposure to the workforce and visitors, supervisors instituted new screening procedures with the goal of returning to business as usual in the coming months. Additional information is in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com that identifies those procedures which are subject to change at any time. In the funeral announcements, Gene Hackwell, age 80, of Anita, died Saturday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A memorial service for Gene Hackwell is today at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care of Anita has arrangements. Donald James Lundergaard, age 92, of Avoca, died Tuesday at Avoca Specialty Care. Funeral services for Donald Lundergaard will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Eugene Jensen, age 89, of Creston and formerly of Fontenelle, died Monday. A celebration of life graveside service with full military rites for Eugene Jensen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Fontenelle Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. Stephen Nopoulos, age 75, who is formerly of the Stewart area, died Saturday. The military graveside service for Stephen Nopoulos will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the South Oak Grove Cemetery in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home of Stewart has arrangements. Mildred Vandenberg, age 96, of Harlan, died May 26th. Massive Christian burial for Mildred Vandenberg will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Joyce Christensen, age 84, of Harlan, died Monday. Funeral services for Joyce Christensen will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Grace Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Dr. Carrie Sousser, age 72, of Atlantic, died April 6th in Corpus Christi, Texas. A massive Christian burial for Dr. Carrie Sousser will be on June 16th at 10:30 a.m. at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has arrangements. Linda Key, age 100, of Atlantic, died May 29th at the Heritage House. Her body has been donated to science, and no services will be held at this time, but you're invited to view a slideshow of Linda Key's memories on the Roland Funeral Home website, along with sharing any memories or thoughts. Brandon Harry, age 30, of Cumberland, died May 28th. A private family celebration of life memorial service for Brandon Harry will be held. Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. You can view that service tomorrow at 11 a.m. on the Roland YouTube page. And Marlene McNary, age 82, of Oklahoma City and formerly of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Services for Marlene McNary will be held at a later date. Joseph Hastert, age 77, of Panama, died Wednesday in Harlan. A private graveside service for Joseph Hastert will be held with the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in charge of the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stiefel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.